morning and think about a little bit. What is something that happens when we don't get rest? What happens? Right?
Depression.
Yeah, that's a huge one. It really is. Many times the result of lack of rest or sleep deprivation or whatever, or a rest at some point, is you do get depressed. Our decision making changes.
Grumpy.
Grumpy, emotional. What's another one? Defeated? How about thinking about yourself? It's hard to think outside of yourself when you're feeling bad. Don't you think so? And the lack of sleep is something that will really work on you. Though not just the lack of sleep, but the lack of being able to rest in the Lord is something that will really drag you down drastically. You know, the old saying, sleep on it. Did I hear someone say that? You know, just sleep on it. What's that mean? It means get some rest. Think about something with a clear mind. And I think that society many times today is not geared for us to rest at all. It's just go, 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 go. And guys, I have to tell you, Satan's pretty smart. He knows how to keep us off balance. And if he can keep us tired and weary and not thinking straight, he keeps us off balance. We've got to learn that there's times sometimes to slow down. Well, God's got me doing this, and I just can't slow down. And I can be guilty of this. Many times I've made the statement, you may have heard me say it, that I wasted so many of my younger years that I feel like I've got to go double time to make up for what I lost before the end of my life. I don't think that's very much a biblical statement. I think God is very, very capable of using me with the time that he has allotted for me here on earth. And I think that he expects me to have rest like everyone else. But a lot of times we just don't do it. We take vacations. Anybody been on vacation at all this summer yet? A little bit here and there. But then what happens on vacation?
You have to come back
to vacation to rest. Yeah, and why is that? It's because you didn't rest on vacation. Many times we say, well, this is our chance where we're going to go here and there and here and there and do this and that and Disneyland and all these things. And you're just like, whoa, I'm not sleeping. I'm not getting any rest. When you have true rest, you'll know it and you feel it. Now, I think we should start when we think about a vacation of rest. That's one thing, but then a getaway with the family and doing things, I don't know that you necessarily, you can call it a vacation. I'm not really sure you can call it rest. Rest involves just that. And it's interesting in the Bible, God took people away and gave them rest. Did he ever do that? Can you think of an instance where God did that with any of us? Almost all the prophets, if you study them, you'll find a time when God pulled them back and let them rest because they needed rest. Right? Can you think of one in specific that was ready to blow his cool and God gave him rest? Moses? What did God do in Moses? You know, Moses had several instances where he was just so irritated with those Hebrews out of the desert and the stuff they were doing. And we've seen those stories over and over again. But God always pulled him back, and he always gave him the time to clear his head, think about this, right? What happens when we make decisions when we're angry, when we're tired? Guys, I gotta tell you, I don't make good decisions when I'm really tired. I don't think anyone does. Does anyone ever complain when they're tired? I know I do. And I think sometimes we can get to the point where we don't realize God's hand in his working in everything around us. We pour everything into what we're doing, and we don't stop to think, wow, look what God's doing around me. Ministry can be tiring, can it not? Absolutely. You know, you look around, and when you really get tired, there's two ways you can look at things. Well, a lot of things, but I'm going to give you two when you're in ministry. When you're in ministry, you can, when you, if you get really tired and you don't allow yourself that rest, you start looking around and feeling defeated in all kinds of areas. And then you may even fall into this thing where you say about yourself, nobody's thinking straight. Nobody's doing this. Nobody's doing that. You start singling yourself out and feeling alone. Nobody understands me but me. No one's trying, but all those kind of thoughts. And the truth of the matter is, when we're rested and we look around, we see the joy and the wonderful things the Lord's doing in so many other lives. And the people around you that love the Lord, you begin to realize how much God is not only working in your life, but in other people's lives also. And he truly is. Does anyone in here ever feel alone and isolated? You know, I would almost bet most of the time when you feel alone and isolated, you're going through a period of feeling weary and tired. Think about that. Rest does wonders. That's why God gave us the Sabbath. That's why God said, folks, you got to take a day and rest. And I really don't think, and this isn't just for, this isn't me giving someone a commandment of what to do. This is just me saying honestly that I think today, in a lot of ways, even though we take a day where we don't go to work physically or go to a job physically, very few of us are actually taking a day and resting, are we? You know, the day that we take off is the day we cram everything in that we couldn't get done the rest of the week. And to me, that is not a real good definition of rest. It truly isn't. We have to have that time. Why did the Lord want us to rest? We just talked about it.
Make smart decisions.
Make right decisions. Give your physical body rest. Isn't it interesting how the physical body and the mental part of your body and your spiritual life are all tied in together? When your physical body is worn out, your mind is soon to follow. And your spiritual life crumbles. And then Satan says, you're so tired you can't do anything, so you just give up on all of it. People start sometimes, that is where that word that Frank mentioned right off the bat, depression starts in. Depression starts in because we're physically worn out, we're physically, we're spiritually, we're mentally worn out. Everything just starts falling again, and now you're depressed. Do a study sometime for me, just for fun. Look up in the Bible all the instances of depression and look at the circumstances that surrounded that and what brought it to be. Folks, we've got to have rest. We've got to make a decision to do it. I've been threatening for years to do a complete study on the spiritual disciplines. And those are the things that the Bible says that we are absolutely to do. Those disciplines. They're called disciplines because they take discipline. They take personal discipline to do. But, you know, rest. Making our lives a little bit more simplistic. How do we do that? We do that by getting rid of things that we really don't need to be doing that are taking up time to keeping us from getting rest. Right? You know, I remember when I grew up as a kid back in the dark stone ages that everybody mowed their grass and had a few flowers. But today, man, we've got to have landscaping. Layers of it. Terraces of it. And that means we got a lot more work to do on all that landscaping, right? And every other aspect. Everything that we think we have to have. All these things take time, folks. And then someone comes back and they say, you know, I just didn't really didn't really have time in church to go to church because we had all this stuff that we didn't get done. Well, it's because we create those things many times to do. I do it. You know, if you get up on a Sunday morning and your grass is a foot tall, it's a lot easier to say, I'm going to stay home and cut the grass, because God would want me to take care of my personal properties than to come to church. Let's go to church and worry about the grass later. Right? It's amazing the things that we do that we think we have to do. And I don't know about you. I told you guys, when I come to church, it's a time of rest for me. And I hope that it is for all of you. To hear the word, to see each other, to talk to others. We're a body of believers. We should love being together and love spending time together. This should be a place of rest. It should be a place, when you think about it, of priority. Now, granted, I have to be honest with you, the weeks get so busy sometimes, and we're so worn out. And I don't think God has any problem with you resting. If you need to take, if this is the only time you're going to get a particular week or a particular time, and your body needs to stop, stop. If it needs to lay in the bed at home, stop. What's the pastor saying? Now, that's dangerous, isn't it? No one will be here next week. Pastor, you said stay home and sleep. But no, we need to sometime. But what I'm getting at is, let's try to work things to where maybe we won't do that. But what I'm getting at is that even, it amazes me the things that we'll do that we won't do for church. Somebody calls you up and wants you to go out to dinner. Hey, that sounds like a good idea. We haven't been out in a while. And you'll drop what you're doing and go to dinner. But then if somebody calls you up and wants you to do something for church because someone bailed out, man, I'd love to, but see what I mean? I'm not saying that about anyone in general. I'm just saying it's our human nature. It's my human nature. It's my human nature to do that. And if Satan can get away with it, he'll do it all the time. Right? And honestly, I'm not talking about, this isn't about coming to church. This is about rest. That rest with him, that time to spend when you can say, you know what, rather than having a week that is so full that you can't breathe, say, maybe you decide between you and the Lord that on Tuesday evenings are going to be your time where you just taper it down a hair, spend some time in the Word, share with family, whatever your choosing is, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Satan's going to try to fill that space so you can't do it. And that's when you say, you know what, Satan, you're not getting away with it. I made a decision with the Lord, this is what's going to happen. And when you see things starting to pile up, that's when you say, no, I can't let it happen. It's kind of interesting. Is there something that you make a commitment to that you never miss?
Work.
Work. We can't, right? We'll lose our job, we won't eat. Now, we have a gracious God that's not going to kick us out for not doing what he wants, but you see that. But it's interesting, like in my particular case, rarely do, I'm here every Sunday. No kidding, right? You're the pastor, dummy. But see, I made a commitment because I am the pastor. This is where I have to be on Sunday morning. You see, I made that commitment, so therefore, if something gets in the way, I make sure that I am still here on Sunday morning. And what's funny, even though I'm the pastor, any one of us could make that commitment, right? Maybe the time maybe it's a Sunday night, and you say, you know what, that's a quiet time, it's an easier time to be at the church for me personally, so I make that commitment Sunday night. Maybe your Wednesday night Bible study is something that you come to that is just something that, you know, you really get a lot out of and you need to be there. You make that commitment to do it because you need to be there. But these things that I mentioned are times where we can actually have spiritual rest if we're not too busy. If I come to church on Sunday morning and I'm racing to get here because I have to get a bunch of things, and then I'm racing to get out the door because I got a bunch of things to do, even though it was fantastic we're in church, at the same time, we're not giving ourselves rest. Are we? We're not. Right? My worst Sundays, let me tell you, Shirley's not here, I can get away with this, see? She's resting at the campground. I get away with this. My worst Sundays are the Sundays where I find out that I got a kid's birthday party on Sunday, because they always tend to have a tendency to get them all together. It's the only time they can find to do it. Sunday afternoon, and then following that, a 4-H meeting or something in between services. Destroys my Sunday, I'm telling you. I love my kids. I love the being around with the party. I don't mind 4-H. But my point is, when I cram them in on the day that I'm going to worship and just give the day to the Lord, it's really a kick in the gut for me. And whatever your time with the Lord is, don't let it become something else, be a kick in the gut to you because of that. Guys, we truly need rest. I want to go on this passage. It says, what does the Lord say here? It says, first voice is come to me. That's the very first thing that we have to do, is come to him. All you who labor. Anybody here labor? We all labor, don't we? In some form. No matter what we do, whether it's a job that we have, whether it's raising a family, or both combined. We have jobs and raising family today, in most cases. You're heavy laden. What does that mean? It means you got a whole bunch of stuff on your back and it's weighing down. You don't feel like that? You just get up and you think, man, there's somebody to get some of this off. I got so much to do, like so many things. I got kids to go here, kids that go there, and my wife or my husband expect this to be done, and my boss is expecting this timeline, and oh, look at the house. I don't want to look at the house because it depresses me, and everything, the yard's getting out of hand, and people just keep giving me
we many times don't find makes us happy at all. All it does is, once again, it gives us, it adds to that lane of unknown on our back. And I'm sure he never said anything, but going through his mind this whole time is, I have paid for it, paid for it. What could I have done with all the payments I made in the last 5 years? You see what I mean? What could he have, maybe he could have paid his mortgage ahead. All these kind of things we could do, because there's things that we do that we don't necessarily need to do. And once again, when you turn to the Lord, he gives you that mindset to think about things more clearly. When you're tired and you're worn out, what do you do? You know, what do you do when you're tired and worn out? Do you ever just give in? You give it to it. Smartly.
Smartly. I have a thyroid issue, so when my body's tired, I just...
You don't think it well to do when you're tired and worn out. No, you don't. We get angry. We do anything to try and ease the pain, or sometimes not even looking at the problem. Let's go down a minute. It says, take my yoke upon you. Lord, what are you talking about? You're telling me to take another yoke? I'm already heavy laden. What do I take your yoke to for? And he tells us. He says, because take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Pretty clear, huh? Learn from me. Don't learn from the world. They're just going to keep piling stuff on you, man. Making that yoke heavy. Oh, you know, I lost my job. What am I going to do? I can't make my payments anymore. I have too many payments. Why do you have too many payments? Learn from me, he says. Let me tell you something. There was never anyone more simplistic than Jesus. How he traveled, what he did, what he taught. Stop taking your keys from the world. It's kind of funny, when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, in housing and development, you've got post-war, or post-World War II, you know, we were a great affluent time, the industrial boom was cranking, you know, all this money was flowing back into the country, or it was in the country, and people went out and built these massive housing developments everywhere for families. Now, most of these families raised about 5 to 6 kids. And most of these houses were about maybe 1,000 square feet. Now think about that. Let's jump ahead to the late 70s and 80s. Now we're out of 3 kids. And our houses had to be 2,000 square feet or we were poverty. Right? You see what happened? I grew up in one of those housing that when we moved from the farm after my dad died, we moved into one of those housing divisions and where it was a little 2-bedroom, tiny cracker box, you know. And quite frankly, all those families got along fine. They just didn't think it was on fire. Huh? You did that too? Many families did. The thing is, you would take on more, we gotta have this, we gotta have that. You know, that'll tell you something, folks, this morning. You know what you need? We need Jesus. Because when you have Jesus and he's living your life and you're surrendering him, you know what? He makes you satisfied. Nothing can fill you and satisfy you like Jesus. Nothing can. Yeah, I know, Pastor, but I tried that. For how long? I mean, how long do we honestly spend doing the things and spending the time in the Word that we should and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Another thing that happened to come up in Sunday school, I love the way Sunday school ties in the message Sunday night, was we were talking about joy and having joy. And I said, one of the biggest problems that we have with joy today is that we're all, most of us are in a relationship, right? We have a spouse or someone there, or a family, or when you come to go to work or go somewhere. But it's kind of like, you know, watch merry-go-round, and that pole's gone down. Pours up, like that going around. When I have joy, someone around me is down. that as families, as husbands, as church members, and as people. Before you know it, we are in a better place because those around us are in a better place, and we stay there. And when we recognize when someone's down, we help pick them up and point them in the direction they need to go. You see what I mean? People come to church. I really think that one of the reasons that our society today in the Christian church has become so worship-oriented, as far as music or worship-oriented, to lift people up and pick them up, is because they're not up already. You see what I mean? We need something to pick us up because we're not up. But he says to come to him, and he'll give us that rest, and he'll bring us up. See, we should be up when we get here. You see what I mean? So we're looking for something to pick us up because we're not up. But he says by staying with him, that's the way we're going to stay up. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I love this. He says, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Basically tells me he's not hard and he's not complicated. He didn't have any ulterior motives. He's gentle and lowly of heart. He understands us at our inner core. He wants to calm us down. He wants to take away the depression. He wants to take the tension out of the back of our neck and let us relax a little bit. Does anybody use that? No, I think it's one. I guess it's easier. Of course, I just drove from Indian Lake to here with my brakes. My car didn't get out of there. Oh, God. Since it out yet, but anyway. But he does. He'll give us that place we need to be. Put us in perspective. I remember one time we lived in the Mount Sterling area, which is way down Route 3, below, way south of the Grove City, like another lower end, way down below. And our church was on the between the west side of Columbus and Hilliard. As a kid growing up, and we never missed, and I thought that was awfully odd. That, you know, man, it would be a lot easier to let us kids stay home and play, and you might have to run, you know. The truth was, my mother had found that her church family was there, and she looked so forward all week to being with her family that that mileage meant nothing to her. Nothing. It was just what she did. And someone would say, well, makes a lot more sense to be closer. The Lord had a worry for her at that point. And that's what she did. So it was pretty simplistic in that, right? Maybe it cost a little more in gas. But, you know, I know my mother well to know that she just eliminated something else she didn't need, so she could afford to. The Lord gives us rest. My yoke, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your, what's that word? Souls. That's the deepest part, folks. That's where the rest needs to be. See, mental rest, if it's just in your mind, can go away really easy. The minute of circumstance changes, the rest goes away, you're back to the stress. But a soul rest is where you live. It's where you live. In other words, the hard things can come into your life, the trials of right life, the storms of life, but generally down here you are at rest. You know that in the storms of life that God's going to take care of them.
You don't know how you're going to weather the storm, but you know with him you're going to weather the storm. You don't know the outcome, but you know he's in control of whatever the outcome is. So in generally, you just have a rest. You've got to have that rest. You're not, your life isn't dictated by the circumstances around you any longer. Your life, who you are, your rest is controlled by him. It's in your soul. It's down in you. You're not going to be up one day and completely devastated the next saying, why did I do this? Why did I do that? And oh, it was all worth nothing. It wasn't worth nothing. God is always in control of what's going on. The things that we think that we originally did for him and we never saw any fruit from, let me tell you something. If it was done for him, it will bear fruit. Am I right? Finally, last verse, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if this is true, if his yoke is easy and his burden is light, easy and light, those are two words I kind of like. Huh? What's the opposite? Hard and heavy. Which one do you want? Easy and light or hard? See, that's pretty easy for me to figure out. Sitting around the campsite, nobody was around, just me and her. Man, it got quiet. And we were talking, but I mean, there wasn't any outside stuff coming in. There wasn't any, I attended a couple of things, because I still have a phone, you know how that goes. But there were things that needed attended to, and I felt good that that could happen. But he's telling you, his yoke is easy. In other words, and his burden is light. That weight on your back isn't so heavy anymore. The decisions that you're going to make in that position are going to be much wiser decisions than you're going to make outside. In other words, when you're driving by Matthew's Kennedy and they've got the deal of the century on a car that you really shouldn't be buying, instead of pulling in and buying it, the Lord is going to stop you and say, or and I pray you went out there to start growing. I'm not talking to you if you did, because I don't know if anyone did. Somebody called you about that new bowling league. You know, and that bowling league's going to be on Wednesday evening. When you just made a commitment to start attending Bible study. Boy, he's getting smart, isn't he? How do you do that? Or whatever else it is you can be doing. And you do it. Then you find out 6 months down the road after you're already in Bible study, not only have you learned a lot and grown and it's been great company, but you find out people that hopefully got in a big fight that was a mess and they quit halfway through. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Following the Lord. What does the Lord say to you? But you have to decide if you're going to rest. You're going to have to decide what is the Lord going to do. I don't know about you, but to me it's pretty easy. It's not always so easy to do. Because Satan's constantly about putting that stuff there. And some things that are so easily tangible and make us feel good are really easy to try to pull up. Right? But sometimes you just gotta slow down and say, no, wait. You know, maybe I need a little more time to come with the family. Maybe one or two things extracurricular is enough for that. They don't need to do everything to make them well-rounded. You know, I can tell you, if you're doing everything in the world to make your kids well-rounded, you're going to raise kids that are going to be chasing your tail, and that's going to be rough. You know what I mean? Take that time. Show them the simplicity of life. Show them what's important. And when they say, why can't I? You say, because I said so. Isn't that easy, Mom and Dad? Is that I said so, because I know. Right? You say, well, how do we know the Lord's going to do this?
graciously give us each and every day. Lord, I ask that we